It's good to be here today and thankful for the presence of every soul here. You know, we kind of have a special mission, at least I feel like we do, we have a special church in this area here, and we need to stand out and do stand out as being one that stands for the truth, one that received a calling from God. I'd call it like a divine mission. If we read in the book of Esther, I'd like you would to turn over to Esther chapter 4, verse 5 to 16. Esther was given a divine mission from God. I'd like you to notice some of the things and what happened here to her in Esther chapter 4. We'll start reading in verse 5. Now, the situation, before we start reading here, is that Esther had been made queen. She was a Jew. And this king had set out a proclamation to seek out young fair maidens to be his wife, and Esther was one that had been approved and won the position, and she had become the queen to the king of Babylon. And so here we read about this, and what happens here with the Jews. A proclamation had been made in a chapter before that all the Jews was to be killed. Now Esther, living in the king's palace, was not treated as a Jew, and many may not have realized she was. But we'll start reading here in verse 5. Then called Esther for Haman, one of the king's chamberlains, who he had appointed to attend upon her, and gave him a commandment to Mordecai to know what it was and why it was. Mordecai was her uncle, and he had something to do with her becoming the queen. And it says, so Hatchai went forth to Mordecai unto the street of the city which was before the king's gate. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and of the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay to the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. And he gave him the copy of the writing of the decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, to show it unto Esther, and declared unto her, to charge her that she should go in unto the king and to make supplication unto him, and to make a request before him for her people. And Hatshepsut came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. And again Esther spake unto Hatshepsut and gave him a commandment unto Mordecai, said, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden sepulcher that he may live. But I have not been called to come into unto the king these 30 days. You see, seems like this old king had a lot of people worrying him and bothering him, so he didn't want a lot of people coming in there and asking a lot of questions of him. So they made a proclamation, you know, if you come before me without my permission, and I might just have you put to death. If I don't hold out my golden sceptre, they'll take you out and kill you. So it was not anybody could just come before the king just any way they wanted to, not even the queen. In verse 12, that they told Mordecai Esther's words. You see, Esther was afraid to go speak to the king. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. You see, that question, what he told her there, turned her heart, and she went. And the Jews were delivered. But you know, he made a question of Esther. How do you know that you've not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And you know, when you look at the kingdom there in their land, the Jews were a small number of people. They were going to have them all destroyed, men, women, children, and everybody. And today, as Christians, we ought to think about that. How do we know that God hasn't brought us into the kingdom for just such a time as this? For a very purpose that He has for us here. You know, this was a calling that God gave Esther, a divine calling. And God put us here for just to such a time. I think God has given us a great challenge, just like Esther had a great challenge. But Mordecai, using her, was willing to risk her own life to save the lives of her people. Are we willing to risk our lives to save the lives of Christians? You know, this brings about a timeless principle which has challenged many people, men and women in the Christian community. As Christians, God has given us a divine purpose for you and me in His service. Would you stand for the truth, even if it meant the loss of your life? Would you stand for the truth, even if it meant the loss of maybe your friends, your family, your job, situation of life? You know, Esther did. She went up and went before him, and we know that it turned out good. They held out the sepulcher, but it could have turned out the other way. Would you risk your life for the calling of God? Today, we face many challenges in our world. Our society is changing rapidly. We've been bombarded constantly with acceptance of Muslims, to piss off the Muslim religion and say nothing against it. We're bombarded constantly with acceptance of people that are gay and lesbians or whatever you want to call them and say nothing against it. And some places near us, they pass laws that listen, if a man stood up and said something against a gay, he can be put in prison. If you listen to the television, they're more against Christianity than they are any other kind of religion in the world, any other kind of teaching in the world. And we must realize that if society continues to go the way it's headed, we may be facing times like Esther did. It may be in our lives whether we're going to stand for the truth. Turn over to Matthew chapter 10. I know Christians are constantly bombarded with the idea of family and friends. If you become a Christian, you likely lose family relationships. If you go get baptized in Christ, you likely to lose friends. We're constantly bombarded with that in the society in which we live. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 10, and we'll start reading with verse number 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Jesus said this, "He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me, and he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." You see, we have to be willing to accept the risk of losing those to gain Christ. "And he that taketh not his cross and falleth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loses his life for my sake shall find it." So we see we have to be willing to, if it's necessary, to put our life in harm's way to become a Christian, to do the will of God, to stand for the truth in God's Word. I want you to consider the Apostle Paul, for an example. He gave up everything for the cause of Jesus Christ. This was a man who had prestige as a Pharisee. He had been tutored by some very powerful Pharisees. His family was Pharisees. His uncle was a Pharisee. They were Jews of Jews. They were deep in the Jewish religion. And he knew it. You know, he went about persecuting Christians, trying to throw them in the prison. And when he became a Christian, he lost all his family connections. His aunt, his uncle, his mother, his dad. He lost his job. It was gone. He could no longer draw from the state as being a Pharisee, as one of the priests. It was all gone. In Philippians 3 and 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted lost for Christ." That's what Paul said. See, Paul lost his only living. And so he kind of lived here and there and went out and learned the trade of making tents to survive. He lost his only livelihood when he became a Christian. You see what he gave up? Would we give up such to be one? He says in verse 8 there in Philippians 3, "Yea, doubtless I counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I suffer the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Do we desire to be a Christian, to win Christ to that extent? That we would give it all up just to be a Christian, to be able to serve God and do God's will? Paul left it all. He left family, friends, home, occupation, all that he had to serve Jesus Christ. So he might do what? Win souls for Jesus. To win souls for Christ. That's what Paul did. That's what he was about. In 1 Corinthians 9 and 22 it says, "For the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." That was his purpose. That was his divine calling of God, was to save men. Christians don't realize sometimes that we have such a divine calling from God, that we are to save men. You know, Paul goes on there in verse 23, he said, 1 Corinthians 9 and 23, he said, "And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker thereof with you." He does it for the gospel's sake. I think some men could say, like Paul said, you know, "I gave it all up to the Lord." But are there many? In Acts chapter 20, verse 23, we read verses 23 through 24. It says, "Say that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bounds of affliction abide me." Paul said, you know, the Holy Spirit told me no matter where I went, I was going to have afflictions and bonds and troubles. You know, in one city he preached and then he was beaten and left for dead. He got up and went to the next city and kept preaching. He says in verse 24, "But none of those, these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of grace of God." You know, he gave all his life up so he could do that. But we should be willing to give up so we could testify of the grace of the gospel of God. Would you be willing to do such and to say such as Paul said? If God called on you to make a stand today for Jesus Christ in a very dangerous world, would you do it? Esther lived in a dangerous time to be a Jew. Paul was living in a dangerous time to be a Christian. Christianity was just starting, and not only were the Jews against him, but the Romans also. You see, how can we say that? We can say that the same principle does not apply to us. How can we say that? I think it does apply to us today, at least in some measure. Our role in history may not be as strategic and far-reaching and as great as that of Esther or that of Paul, but I want to tell you, it's involved around us. Our role that we play here, the role that we live out here, receiving a divine calling from God to save souls. God does have a high calling in mind for you and I. It may not be recognized by the world. They may not sound the trumpet and say, "Look, what a great thing you did." You know, when men come back from battle in Iraq or over in Afghanistan, and they've risked their lives, they give them rewards and they stand them up there. And some, you know, who really got injured, they give them a trope of honor before all men. Well, Paul was not honored like that. There was nobody that stood out, Paul. You know, along with Paul receiving the honors right here, the Word of God, he didn't receive any honor in that day from the people around him, from the government around him, from the Jews that he was in around, nor anything like that. And so it is with us today. You know, we might not make a big difference in history as the world is concerned, but we have a high calling from God. You know, there's a great tragedy that most people, whenever they're faced in situations like that, will hold their peace. They would not speak up. If they was in a violent and dangerous situation, if they stood for God, they would be in harm's way. They would not stand. They'd speak. But you know, as it was with Esther, God says, well, but the deliverance can come from another place. The enlargement and deliverance can be from somebody else, from another place, instead of with you. Consider all that Joseph did to save his family. Joseph didn't really see the big picture, I don't guess, to start with. But his sons, his brother, very own brothers, took him and threw him in the pit. And they threw him in the pit and they sold him in a bunch. And all this was so that he could be brought to Egypt. And he was brought down into Egypt, and there he was accused of a rape and thrown into prison as he was living in Egypt as a servant. And in prison, you see Joseph there through his dreams that he had and was delivered out of there. And by all this that happened to Joseph, he was able to save his family from the drought and the famine that struck the land. He was able to save them all by his forgiveness and his love for them and his family. Proverbs 11:30, it says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. There's a very wise thing that we all need to be involved in. We all need to have a part in it, saving souls. To save our families, if it's possible. To save our neighbors, if that be possible. Our strangers that we don't know. Jesus Christ was all about saving souls. He wants us to be all about saving souls. He came into this world for that very reason. And he set the example, a high bar of the value of saving souls. He gave his very life, all of his life. The very Son of God, with all the power that he had, he laid it down so that he might save our souls. Matthew 1:21, it says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin. That's what Jesus is all about. In Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners, unworthy, undeserving, and Christ died for us. And he wants us to be about winning and saving souls. That's a divine mission that we have from God. Turn to Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28. Jesus said, all power is given me in heaven and earth. All power. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and along with you always, even to the end of the world. You know, this is a divine mission given to us from the Lord himself. To us. To Christians. To those that would follow him. Now some say, well, you know, that was just the apostles. Well, wait a minute. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Here we read about Saul, who became Paul. This was before he was a Christian. And Saul was consenting unto the death. At that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and the death that he's talking about, the death of Stephen. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the region of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entered into every house, and hated men and women, and compelled them to prison. Therefore they were scattered abroad, whatever were preaching the word. Who were they? Were Christians, just like you and I. They had a divine mission from the Lord himself to go preach the word. And then you read about a man named Philip who went down and he baptized a lot of people, and the church started and grew, and so the church went. Everywhere those people went, they stood for Christ, they preached the gospel, they reached out to saints. So everywhere they went. To be about Christ is to be about winning souls. To be like Christ is to be about winning souls. May God help us to leave our comfort zone and be used by God to save souls. You know, Esther had to leave her comfort zone. She was in comfort in her chamber down there. She even had her servants around her. She was in very comfortable situation. But she had to go out of that comfortable situation and put her life in danger to plead for the cause of her people, to save the Jews. May we be able to leave our comfort zones and to go out and maybe put our life at risk to reach out to save others. Are you willing to do that? Look at Acts chapter 5. In Acts chapter 5, we read about the apostles here as they were preaching the word, and they captured them and brought them before the council of the Pharisees and Sadducees, and they commanded them that they should go out and teach about Christ, and they beat them and threatened them, and they let them go. And I'm going to start reading here with verse 27. Well, they didn't let them go, but God opened the doors and they came out. Verse 27. And when they brought them, they set them before the council, and the high priest asked them, saying, did not we strictly command you that you should not teach in this name? Behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine, and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. And Peter said, and the other apostles answered and said, we also obey God rather than men. We also obey God rather than men, even if it means putting our life at risk. We're going to have to leave our comfort zones to do it. Over 1 Kings chapter 13, there's a man who left his comfort. I want you to look at this. 1 Kings chapter 13, if you would turn over there with me. 1 Kings chapter 13. God sent this man from Judah to Israel with a message, to proclaim a message. It says in verse 1, and behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. So we see God told him to go. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. He cried against the altar and the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, offer thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be burned upon the house of David, Josiah the name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burned upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, lay hand on him, and his hand which he had put forth against him dried up, so that he could not bring it in again to himself. But the point is, we see this young man had been told by God to go down there and make a prophecy against that altar. And the king was there. He had to know that his life would be in danger. He had to know that this king may reach out and take him and might could take his life. Only God stopped it, but the man left his comfort zone of his home in Judah and went into this place to bring the message of God to those people and to this man. As we read about this, Paul said about himself, he said in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, I fought a good fight, I finished my course, and I kept the faith. I pray that we can say this when we come down through life's way, that we're able to say I've kept the faith and that I've reached out and I've taken my divine mission from God. You know, God wants you to be saved. He wants me to be saved. He wants our neighbors to be saved. And you and I, the only way He's got of reaching those people, He has put that treasure of the gospel in earthen vessels, and we are those earthen vessels. And so we have a divine calling from God that we are to reach out to those around us, to leave our comfort zones so that we might reach them, teach them, and give them the opportunity, not that they will obey. You know, Jeroboam, he didn't change his heart. Even after God healed his hand, he still continued to have people worship on that altar. They have the right to reject our words. They have a right to reject the gospel. But we have a divine calling from God to take the gospel to them. What about your life today? Are you saved? Isaiah 55 and 3 says, incline the ear, come unto me, and hearing your soul shall live. So we want to go to God and hear His word so our soul shall live. And He continues on in Isaiah 55 and 3, and He says, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. And so we want to go to God and hear His Word, that we can have that covenant with Him. And when we hear it, we want to believe it. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it's impossible to please God, but he that cometh to Him must believe that He is. We got to believe that there's God, and that it's believed in His Son, Jesus Christ. In John 8:24, Jesus said, therefore I said, if you believe not in He, you should die in your sins. So having heard, we got to believe what we've heard to the point that we're willing to obey it. To obey that gospel. And the beginning of that obedience is repentance. In 2 Peter 3:9, he says, the Lord is not slack concerning the promise, some men cast slackness, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. We all got to repent. Jesus said, I say to you, nay, except your fish shall all likewise perish. And once we've done those things, we make them confession of our faith. And Matthew 10:32, Jesus said, confess before men, and I confess before my Father, which art in heaven. Upon that confession, then we're baptized into Christ. Mark 16:16, he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. If you've never went down that road, hearing God, believing Him, believing enough to repent and confess His name, to be buried with Him in baptism, rise and walk in a new life in Jesus Christ. We give you the opportunity to do that this morning. And if, you know, once we've done that, we're not perfect. We make mistakes and we slip, and God provided the way. John 1:9, we confess our sins, be faithful. 1 John 1:9, we confess our sins, be faithful, just forgive our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here today and you're subject to the gospel of Christ in any way, we give the opportunity to let it be known. We stand in